This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So I'm with the Chief. Chief and Big Chief Aminu and Mrs. Bean.
Mrs. Bean.
Mr. Bean's wife, who you don't see much.
No.
Doesn't love the spotlight so much. But we were going through.
She has her head stuck in a turkey.
Well, that's another reason you don't see her, is because when the turkey did come off, and this is off screen, but when the turkey does finally come off his head, it gets stuck on her head. And as you've seen, it's very difficult to remove. They've drilled a hole in through the butt area of the turkey.
Yeah.
And she can breathe. There's like a straw running in it. She can drink smoothies and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, she and
his
myself,
car is not big enough for her. It's the other.
That's yes. So she's on Finn's kitchen behind it. On like not even on a true skateboard, but on like a pallet, like, you know, like those wooden with four wheels that you'd move like a big box of paper on. Well, that's what she's on. But anyway, it's her, myself, the two chiefs, one from the Portland Trailblazer and one from the world of hip hop.
They call him Big Chief Aminu?
They do. They call him that on the broadcast. His name, he's descended from African kings, and his name, Al-Farouk,
means Big Chief.
Means the Big Chief.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What were you doing?
We were going through FDA trials trying to get our new pills
approved.
Yes, the drugs.
Yes.
We have just these drugs, which
these guys.
Well, and here's the thing with the FDA.
They're
like
obsessed.
They're such pencil pushing dweebies. Yes. And they're all like, well, what is the drug to do?
Just try it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what it does. Let's get it approved and then we'll sell it to people who want it. You know what I mean? I'm like, tell me if there's any really bad side effects.
Just try
it. And maybe that's what it does.
Just try a little piece of one.
Literally eat it and then let's talk about it.
Just have a tiny piece.
It's so rude. Imagine I came to your house for dinner.
Unbelievable.
And you slid something in front of me and I go, oh, what does this do?
Yeah.
What is this made of? It's like, take a bite of it.
Oh, can I have a mouse eat it first?
Oh, yeah. Let me feed it to my mouse.
Oh, I brought this mouse.
I pull a mouse out of my pocket.
Piece of your
food. Let me feed some
first.
Of this to the mouse. I go, hang on. This isn't a good dinner. Mm. And that's what it's like at the FDA with those trials.
Mm.
And so we're getting pissed. I started that way. And finally, I go, fine, you guys are so mad. I'll eat it. And you just watch me.
Mm-hmm.
I take a big handful, and I'm chowing down, and I'm going at
it's lunch for you.
Yeah.
I'm sweating.
Yeah. And it did turn out to be Chewy Spree.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook and Insider's Guide to Kicking Button Dropping Names in the Red Carpet Lineback Hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up? Tony.
Hail.
Tony.
And
hey, I want a Tony.
I have so many questions about your FDA experience.
I want a Tony, right?
Are you going through this process? Veep is done. You're trying to get in the game a little bit.
What's next? What's the next chapter?
And it must be FDA.
These big pharma, it's big money.
It is big money. How did you get in the FDA, though? I'm curious, like, what credentials you used to, like, get in there?
That
has to have some tight security, no?
Yeah, I did. Actually, it's a really crazy story. I used the front door.
Wow, you just have that kind of face that they're like, just let you in?
I am somebody who people inherently trust.
And he can sort of flatten out and like crawl in a way that
really?
Is silent
and
that, the security guy at the desk would not be able to see.
What a skill. That's yeah. like an X-Men thing.
Yeah, I was like Flat Stanley, more like Flat Stanley.
Oh, right. I see that. I can see that. Do people take pictures with you a lot? And kind of carry
well, when
the
I'm
world.
Pretending to be an important piece of art at an art museum because I've flattened out and gotten up against a wall, people are taking pictures of me, sure.
What a chameleon.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yes.
This engineer Jordan.
Jordan. Hi. I just met Jordan. I just heard Jordan is a vocal performance.
BA in vocal performance. She brought it up before you even finished saying hello.
It was so fast. Sometimes she treats us like we're the ones bringing it up.
Bring it up. No, you brought it up.
It was the first of
that. She did not bring it up. You brought it up.
And Chef Kevin. And
we were all around there.
Chef Kevin. Is he actually a chef?
He is. This has come up on a recent episode, and I'm afraid we can't go
into
it again.
Oh, really?
No,
it's very painful to hear him explain his life.
But you can go through the whole FDA process of allowing a drug that just only does side effects?
Well, this is the thing. We don't like that. We're trying to circumvent that.
It didn't sound like you did.
The side effect of this drug was that you get a little bit hyper.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
And then you crash pretty hard, yeah. Oh,
so it's like any other drug.
Tony, Chef Kevin has started saying c'est la tea instead of that's the tea. What do you think about that?
Interesting. C'est la tea. So just really just switching the language.
Yeah, I mean, and he'll like, you'll give him like
c'est la tea.
It's just like a little piece of information. Exactly. Yeah. And he'll go, ooh, c'est la tea.
Got a big accent on it.
C'est la tea, girl.
And that is what he's been doing around the office.
Yeah.
And I...
Hey, mark it.
I'm offended, but I don't know why, like on whose
behalf. Why would you be offended? I that's like, that's a very popular... phrase. That's the tea. Guest judged on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I heard that's the tea.
Okay. I think I saw some clips of you blasting through my feed.
Yeah, well,
you got through there so fast.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, it was very temporal.
I mean, but in like a cool way.
You're
I mean,
on just like rocket ship, man, through the feed. It is
and
amazing.
Then just gone in the
boosters
universe.
On. Yeah,
got it.
Did you get offered a permanent judge position?
No, I would have liked one though. I had a blast doing it.
Yeah,
It really well. In the episode I was on,
you had a blast telling people that they're. Drag was not good enough.
No, I didn't do
so
that.
So for me, that would not be fun that. For me.
Well, I know they worked hard on it, so I kind of want them to feel good.
I kind of became the Paula Abdul of the panel. I was kind of main kind of encourager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on my, for you might not watch it, but I was the episode where there was called a Snatch Game. And they impersonate people. And it
from
was,
the
it was
film Snatch, the Guy Ritchie just, film. Yeah.
Just from the film Snatch.
Yeah. Really Tyke Boxer.
That would have actually been a great angle.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of rough. But then there was this epic lip sync after it that they threw down. And that was super entertaining.
That's the one where they do the freaking spleets and they...
Spleets?
Yes.
Yeah, they can do
I
the
saw them do it. Are you acting like that didn't happen? I saw that. I saw it
I just
happen.
Have to call it. My favorite thing about you right now, watching you, is you're about to laugh, and it's like you swallow a laugh because you don't want to go there. You go, you like, you're about to, and then you can see
people
the laugh.
Love it. It's they, very
you can
charming.
See the laugh fall down your throat, and then you keep talking.
It's very finely tuned.
It is finely tuned.
It's a performance.
I don't have that skill. I'm the one that breaks the most when I'm working, and I don't have that skill that you have.
But we got to make really our day. Even working? Couldn't you really even call it? Working
what
it's freaking
break?
It's freaking recess
it
this
is.
Job right
well, honestly yes as writers of course we are playground architects and
oh my
as
God,
an actor
that is beautiful
you're really just the
a
child
baby.
Yes
wow that is kind of true
but I have to say I love hearing that you are the person who breaks the most at work when we are how many minutes into the show and I have not heard your laugh. And for me, that's a nice challenge, isn't it? To
that
sort
is.
Of put that out there. And I
that
and I
nice.
I love that you've presented that for me. And
however,
I hope to hear you.
There you go. You just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mission accomplished.
That's
yeah.
that's maxing out. That's
oh,
the
no.
biggest break
it'll
we're
get,
get.
It'll get really big. I have silenced my I haven't swallowed it like you have, Hayes. I've, I've silenced it. So I will feel free to vocalize it next time.
Who's making you bust up?
Yeah, who's cracking you up
guys,
the hardest?
I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to be the Paul Abdul of this podcast today.
You're not going to say it makes you bust
out? I'm only going to encourage you.
So some... No, so no, no,
no. No, not here, not here.
On the show
when you're at work, who's busting you up? Just insane.
I just came from a cold, so my laugh's a little bit...
yeah, a little muttly to it. Yeah.
It's a little muttly.
Yeah.
Who makes me bust? I would say that's an unfortunate way to say it.
Makes you
laugh the most.
Yeah,
I'd say Julia. Julia makes me laugh.
Not Tim.
Tim makes me. Tim, I feel bad for. He gets the most names called to him. He was called Jolly Green Jizz Face. He was called. He was called Frankenstein. If Frankenstein was made entirely of dead dicks.
Right. Yeah. So
I mean, that's kind of. I was called a bitchy mime on the show. And I was also called Cow Eyes.
Yeah. Do they ever like take you aside and be like, you know, we're just playing around?
Nope.
Right?
They don't.
Never did that, huh?
Nope. And it's sometimes it gets
still waiting.
Tim was once said to him, they said, you just have a weird shape.
That's something you just carry with you. That's real.
That is real.
Yeah,
that's not the character.
No, they're grabbing physical attributes of yourself. Yeah. Putting them in the show.
No, when they add something like Frankenstein dicks, there is a sort of childish playfulness to it. But something as general as weird shape, you go, this came from looking at me.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
They pulled up a picture of me in the room.
Cow eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, those are some eyes from a cow.
Because of beautiful eyes, just swallowed Tony.
I just
I'm smiling. I'm having a good
people
time.
People tune into the
I'm
show.
The Adam's apple go up and down.
To hear this guy show restraint. That's what's Jordan popular on podcasts.
Jordan
now.
Pops it out.
Jordan, yes, that has been a big addition to the show.
We had Sam Richardson on the show recently. Oh, you also didn't mention him as someone make you bust up.
Because it was Julia. It wasn't Tim, it wasn't Sam.
No,
it wasn't Matt
Tim.
Walsh, who we're friends
Matt,
with. Yeah.
Matt does make me laugh.
Yeah.
They all make me laugh.
Yeah.
They really do.
But not bust up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just don't like that phrase. That phrase is just kind of dark.
The busting up.
The busting up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, oh, yeah, you made me busting up.
Well, because you can bust up in a bad way as well if you're crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that will make you bust up.
And that's in a sad way.
When was the last time you had a cry where it came out of nowhere and you just fell apart?
This morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Sean and I kind of tried to go through the door at the same time.
Yep.
And squashed each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a way. That it's interesting for me to hear because at the time you said that you were not crying.
Well, and that is probably the first thing you'll hear me say when I start crying, especially when I'm completely out of control.
If you say, I'm not crying.
Yes, I could get just enough oxygen to say, I'm not crying.
Wow.
And the truth is that I was, and that on a certain level, I still am.
Oh, wow. That must have really hurt.
So when Sam was on, we did fix Veep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is coming back.
Did they not tell you?
Okay. Well, one of the fixes we had
Tony!
Was, let's lose some of the dead weight.
Tony!
Oh, Tony. We didn't mean you.
Oh.
I mean, we did not mean you, but we didn't say you specifically.
Oh.
But the...
Sam, and Sam was
a lot of feelings
I'll say that. Sam was in the room, so we had to keep Sam. He's like, he was in the room.
And at a certain point, you got to pick one of you guys.
Oh, wow. All right.
Okay. We're going to have you and Sam on the show.
Is Sam coming back?
We had
to. We had to. Just
you had to.
Yeah.
And you've talked about this whole thing with the HBO execs and stuff like that, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, and they definitely said, okay, you guys, between us, we're keeping Julia, the rest of the team, but we are cutting the fat of Sam and Tony.
Sam stay. I know you want Sam to be gone.
That's right.
Sam because that would I'm sure that would feel
like
better.
That was just a codependent world. Move. Like you felt bad.
He was in the room.
He was in the room. We're going to go like, yeah, let's get rid of you. Probably, I think I haven't seen all the storyboards yet, but there are plans to excise him pretty early in the first episode.
Really?
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Well, it's,
okay.
At the cold open is Sam starts his car and the car has a rock fall on it.
Oh my.
So you think it's going to explode.
Wow. But it does. It is triggered by, it's like a machine.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the engine turns and you see a rope sort of go around
God,
one of those whirligigs.
So dark.
Yeah.
It really is off theme.
From and you did too. It. So you're a guy goes,
oh,
to jail.
I fixed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just like pushing a button next to the cave and I'm like,
yeah. You do your Muttley laugh that you've been doing for us. And yeah.
Right.
So that is how it's going to start. As far as the HBO execs, they're over the moon for it. Steve Baker fell out of his chair.
Really?
Steve Baker fell off his chair.
He's an athlete.
Under his desk and went
to
sleep.
He's a football player.
He's a football player.
What?
So to make their whole a job football is player not fall, to fall
down.
Chair.
That's the entire job is don't fall down.
That's all of the HBO's job is to not
I
fall
was
down.
I was meaning football player. But it is also part of HBO's job, don't fall down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm going to see football games in a totally different light now.
Right?
Because it's kind of like an actor's objective. Like you have like, all right, Gary just wants to be loved by Selena. And like a football right. player just doesn't want to fall down.
And also actors aren't supposed to fall down unless you're Chevy.
Well, that's like a, that's a, what's it called?
The exception that proves the rule. When you spin. What? Go ahead and.
Vertigo. Not vertigo. Is it vertigo?
Vertigo, yes.
Vertigo is when you spin, for sure.
Yeah. It's an inner ear issue.
Come on, you gotta know vertigo. That's a storyline from Arrested.
Is it?
Yes. Liza Minnelli has vertigo.
Oh, yes.
Tony, you have to watch this show. You gotta watch it.
You in particular would love it.
Lucille, too. You're right. She's freaking going nuts.
Oh,
and
guys.
I think she's your wife at one point.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
We made out.
You don't believe in that?
Yeah.
In marriage?
No, I'm so glad we're talking
Please,
about
Please, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies, I'm available.
We fixed
Just
Veep.
My girlfriend.
We are also.
I'm so interested how you fix Veep. I want to hear more about that, but I guess
Do
I
you remember
to the podcast.
I mean, my guess is we probably changed the name to Karma by the Sea.
So this is
Karma by the Sea.
Carmel. So we originally fixed Atlanta, and we were like, Atlanta, you know, is like, I don't
so
know,
boring.
Sounds like great. How about the show is Carmel by the Sea?
Okay.
And it's set in this. Have you been to this place?
Carmel?
Cobblestone streets.
In Carmel?
A dog is the mayor.
Clint Eastwood's the mayor.
Well, he's friends with a dog, though. We have to acknowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I have been to Carmel. It's beautiful.
Right?
Yeah. Mm. I don't remember cobblestone streets, though, but I'm sure it's...
Okay, and I'm wondering if they actually let you in, or if they showed you to the fake one.
Yeah. Oh, Carmelo, right this way, Mr. Tony.
What?
guide you into a little... What did it look like? Did it look like just a room, like the kitchen maybe of the restaurant?
So you're Carmel by the Sea, like, give me five top attributes of it, characteristics.
Cobblestone streets. Clint Eastwood is the mayor. He's friends with the dog as well, who's the mayor.
Okay.
There's
a storyline.
The library and the
sea.
Yes.
And the sea.
The sea.
Wow. So, I mean, it sounds very European.
Oh, God. Yes. Mm,
yes. That's part of what's so nice.
CC.
A little slice of Europe. C'est la tea.
C'est la tea.
We do have to get down to business, Tony. I'm so sorry, but
that's right.
Part of it is like we're recording a podcast and we'll release a podcast, but also
we're multitasking.
We did do Punch Up on TS4, Toy Story 4, and we
I already know the lingo.
We just want to. They said while Tony's in here, we got the mics, we got everything all set up.
Mm.
We were mostly focused on your character doing Punch Up for your guy.
Is this something that they assigned to you?
They had us.
God, this is another touchy situation that I'm in.
Yeah, it's just.
I don't understand why these conversations are happening now with me.
Well, this is when we have you again.
Hmm.
Time,
but you know what? All
money.
Of Hollywood wants to avoid conflict, so I can see that they gave it to you guys
I know.
To tell me.
Mm-hmm. Because we embrace
conflict.
Conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of conflict, just something we like to mention on the show. Obviously, I don't know how you feel about this. This show is a full UTA package.
Yes,
it's a full package. We didn't really? Split the package. Yeah, no, they didn't have to. So that's just. And that's in the past. And that's an existing deal that was made, obviously, before the whole conflict. And we don't get into any part of it. And if you think you could do it without them.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Have you? Okay. What are your thoughts on this whole packaging? And
my thoughts are listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And tell me if you think it's good. And that's a product of the old system.
Listen to the podcast we're doing right
this
now.
This podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a product of the old system.
It's full package.
Right.
It's a full package.
Okay, it's a full package. Right. Okay.
And my thoughts on it are basically chop wood, carry water. I just do the work. Just do the damn thing, baby.
Oh my God. There it is. There's that swallowed that laugh.
That's good, right?
It's really good.
He's swallowing it because it is at his own joke. Happy to laugh at someone else's if that comes up.
Right. Oh, sure.
Right.
And
it has.
It's, it definitely has.
Oh, man. So they basically gave us sort of prima nocte on this thing, on this script. Wow. They were like, just go in there. And you find the areas that need help. Like, for example, like, what's your guy?
Forky.
And he is?
He's like a banana.
So, my big issue, this is not a toy.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, he's not a toy. He doesn't think he's a toy.
Well, Forky. So then, I mean, basically, what's he doing here?
That's a big question.
It's not really called freaking Fork Story.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And we don't intend to change it because we have a brand already that works.
Wait, you have a... Okay, so I'm going
to... We mentioned changing Toy Story 4 to Toy Story Fork just to find a way
to get you in there.
Yeah.
Because we love the idea of you being involved.
Okay, okay. I'm going to keep bringing this to its simplest form because I want to understand.
Mm-hmm. Chop wood, carry water.
That's right. That's right.
Do you know about that?
Chop wood, carry water.
Mm-hmm. Do you know about that?
Only that's like, is that a phrase of saying you just do what needs to get done?
Do the damn thing.
Do the damn thing. Tony, can I ask you, what does the monk do prior to enlightenment?
Wait.
If you know. What does the monk do prior to enlightenment?
What the monk does prior to having like a revelation.
Prior to enlightenment,
yes. Prior to enlightenment. He chops wood and carries water.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And then, quick follow-up. After enlightenment, what does the monk do?
He sits and with God.
He chops wood, carries water. Oh, wow. Yes.
Okay. But he does it.
The job stays the same, Tony.
But he does it with, like, the swag.
He's got a little... Oh, yeah.
He's, like, pimping it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He's got a little bit of a gangsta limp.
Okay.
But he's carrying the water afterwards.
I would think it would be just the opposite. It would be more of like a peaceful kind of assurance. It's very
peaceful. It's peaceful as hell, man. It's peaceful as hell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys been to a monastery?
Okay. This is another touchy subject for me.
Is it? Is faith a touchy subject for you?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Well, we've been on quite a journey on this show. I mean, of course, as you know, religion is the cause of all wars. It's killed more people than every disease. Yeah. And
church is pretty screwed up sometimes.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Can be tough.
Yeah.
At the same time, when I did confront the church about this, they frequently met my anger with love.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That has been an issue.
And what would you say is, what is, how, why do you have a hard time receiving that?
Ooh, wow. And we're digging in on this. We're never going to get to TS Fork at this point. Why do I have a tough time receiving that?
Like, why
not
would
enough
you,
room?
Mm-hmm. Not enough room for their love.
There are too many muscles in there already.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
I've been chopping wood and carrying water.
Got it. Okay.
It really feels like you're like avoiding
no,
your
not at
job.
All.
It's like you don't want to fix the movie and possibly save your role.
My role. Okay.
Because what we have for the fork,
yeah,
that's gone.
Wait, what you have for the fork is gone, meaning you pitched something to them and they said no can do.
What I'm saying is the original version, what you think the fork is doing in the movie,
uh-huh.
Who's a spork, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But what you think he's doing in the movie,
uh-huh.
That, Hayes and I saw it, we're doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. It didn't work.
Because
it's not a toy.
God, I'm so glad you guys are here.
We didn't get it.
Right.
We didn't see a lot of it. We were like on our phones.
Yeah. Wow. Because I saw it and it really, I got it. Like I loved it.
Are you maybe too close to it?
I think, yeah, maybe I'm too close to it.
And are people like not texting you that much? Is that the other issue? Because we have to be assuming that other people are going to be watching this and people are going to be hitting them up. Like they're actual friends. So that this is what we're competing.
And when you say people are going to be hitting them up, you mean hitting Disney up?
No, people watching the movie are getting hit up.
They're going to directly hit up
by their friends.
The movie's guy.
No, they're getting hit up by their friends.
The friends, yes. They're going to directly hit up
the movie's guy, which is the person
the friends
who's
watching
the movie.
Watching it and hitting them up.
And so this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're watching this movie. Nobody's hitting you up.
Yeah.
And so you're like enjoying it. You're having a good time. Yeah, yeah. Sean and I are watching. We're getting hit up constantly.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. So when you see a movie, so your goal is seeing something and to get hit up.
No, my goal is in writing, producing a movie is to create something that will be more appealing, will get my attention more than all
all the people hitting me up.
All my friends, my wife, my girlfriend, who are hitting me up.
I see. So you're saying that you want it to be so interesting that you're not getting distracted by the number.
That is ruining my
friendship.
A fully
immersive world that you are sucked into to the extent that it destroys your personal relationships with your friends, family, loved ones.
Mm.
And that is the ultimate movie. And I think we've come close with some of these wild lines and stuff that we're going to record for Forky today.
Okay. Can you tell me some of them?
Yeah.
That's kind of a big part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have you record them, so you'll have to know them.
I don't think I can record them, but I would love to.
Okay, that's really the entire thing that we're doing here.
Wait, so today is an ADR session?
Yeah, we're just getting pickup.
Right off the top, your name is Forky Romano. We're going to try to tie it in with another successful thing that already exists.
Forky Romano.
So
we are going to have a CGI version of Chris Penn and Peter Berg, who played Corky Romano's brothers in that film.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the other characters like Woody and all those guys? Are they?
They're fine. They work.
Oh, everybody works except you think Forky.
Forky Romano.
Again, Forky Romano works
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We've got Forky Romano working. Mm-hmm. So the first wild line, of course, in keeping with this is, you guys want some cookies? If you recall, Corky Romano had to pose as a Girl Scout selling cookies in order to like infiltrate the home mob. Where the microfilm was or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or he's working for the mob, but I think he was also working for the
FBI. His family's the mob, and he's tied in with the FBI, yeah.
And that you see this as the same age range that Toy Story 4 is? Or like appealing to kind of a younger crowd?
The question
all generations?
So well, I guess, can I try something,
Hayes? Yeah, please. Because
a lot of times what happens is I sort of lay out sort of a really clear, cool idea to Tony.
Oh, okay.
And then Tony will go, and you think blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and
so like when you're asking, so you just asked me and you see this as the same age as Toy Story 4. So I'm going to try something and see if this is just how you like to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so you see that question of whether the age range of Toy Story 4 is going to be the same as the fan base for Corky Romano, the mega hit movie starring Chris Kattan, as a relevant question that's going to help us get these lines recorded.
Mm. And you know what? I hear you, and I can understand that that sounds really aggressive, and I'm sorry about that. Let me see if I can phrase it. I do have a question. It doesn't sound like it's the same tone as what the Toy Story 4, really the beauty of the franchise, has created.
Mm-hmm.
And I am curious what demographic you're thinking.
Okay.
Does that kind of
movie fans? Romano, exactly. People that like going to the movies. Oh, people that will pay to watch a movie.
People who are ready to laugh again.
Oh, wow.
What are we like if Corky Romano is not working for you. What direction would you prefer? Like Mr. Peepers,
you said
a
Corky
mango,
Romano.
The host of the, how do you say, IES show?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Antonio Banderas, I guess?
Yeah. Like what is?
Oh, wow. You said that with a lot of subtext. You don't like Antonio Banderas.
I'm saying of all the iconic Chris Kattan characters we could mold Forky into.
Uh-huh.
Antonio Banderas to me would Doug be the most Butabi. Confusing one to approach.
I just think if Antonio Banderas was in this room and you went, Antonio Banderas?
But I'm not talking about Antonio Banderas. I'm talking about the Chris Kattan version of Antonio Banderas.
From your lips to Buddha's ears. We have spent time in a monastery, by the way. We never really answered that question before.
Wait. I'm just not welcome back.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
So we were saying you guys want some cookies.
I karate kicked the gong and it went flying off the thing and rolled down all the temple steps.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And no one was recording it.
Yep.
Dang.
One was recording it, which helped me in court.
And the sound, a bunch of people got Nirvana, who had like just shown up. People like had just walked in and they heard the sound of the gong going down the steps and they were like, wow, I got it.
Oh, they got Nirvana after seeing it go down.
You were
the
thinking
steps.
Like Nirvana Unplugged.
No, I wasn't actually. But
I think you might have been.
Oh. But I won't break this down because I am
and
you
and I could see you in your head going, two flannels? Cause in Nirvana Unplugged, it's like there's so many flannels.
There is a lot of flannels. That hasn't stopped either.
You know, we stuck with it.
We're dead.
So here's another line for Forky that we just want to get out of the way.
Please.
And it's don't tell your parents.
And that's to camera.
So something happens. Can you kind of create that world a little bit for me? Why he would say, don't tell your parents?
I mean, I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah, and we're actually not even really allowed to, like, share too much of, like, the plot details.
But basically, by the time you're finished and they've caught you cleaning it up, you kind of just go, don't tell your parents.
Wow, that sounds...
And there's a new, like, you know, they have, this new technology. There's, like, a camera effect. Where the Forky will be saying, so if you could just basically say the name of every child.
Okay.
And then we have a way to fill in
that
child's name at the end of
You're saying
the
that
line.
Every child in the world.
Yes, if you could just say the name of every
I'll
child
roll
in the
through
world.
Them really fast. It's, okay. First in, last?
Yes, sorry, full mibs.
That sounds like a lot, guys.
And so then Forky's going to be looking down the barrel and is going to say the child's full name because they, you know, scan.
Some of them we can
facial scan as they're walking into the theater and then.
But then if there's a lot of people in the crowd, how would it be specific to each child?
Targeted Dolby Blast.
Wow. Okay.
The Dolby technology now is out of this world. I mean, obviously, you're not on that side of things, you haven't necessarily been tracking the updates, but they can target the blast in such a way that each individual seat in the theater is receiving their own name.
Wait, but seeing it, I see, and hearing it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to fudge the mouth movements so that it sort of, it can match a lot. Oh, and some of the names, we don't have to get Jaden, Caden, Braden, Aiden, that stuff. We'll just get it. That's most of them.
I knew
and
a
we're just going to get it.
Shepherd in middle school.
You knew a shepherd?
I knew a
Shep Shepherd.
I knew a Shep Shepherd from my hometown.
Wow. Is it possible that the name Shep was a nickname based on the last name Shepherd?
I don't
Shepherd?
Think so.
Okay.
I mean,
but
maybe
it's possible.
It is possible.
If it's possible at all, that's what happened.
Because
it means you don't know.
God, I have to say, I so admire the certainty. It really, I think if more people could have this kind of certainty when they speak, I think it would create such a more confident and loving environment.
So we have one name, which is Shep Shepherd. That one is on.
That we got. That was,
I didn't even do it in Forky's voice.
Okay.
I'm sure it's so different.
So
it's. I do.
That's another note, by the way, on Forky's voice
to change it.
We need to amp up the vocal fry.
Okay.
Big time.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, like, can we hear the old version?
I kind of need
it's
to
in the trailer. You're allowed to you're allowed to do it. Cat's out of the bag.
I kind of need to hear more of the world that you guys are coming from a little bit. I don't know. It's I mean I hear what you're saying, but Forky, I mean, you're both actors, right?
Wow, if you think
jeez,
man.
Why did you have something that you thought I'd be right for? Or
but I can tell that you're both really good.
Oh wow. My God!
I guess it's Tony, Tony's kind of like it's a kind of performance.
Yeah,
I mean, and actually, I think harder in a way because people don't have the visual component. So you have to be
you're
like
creating a whole thing in there
vocally. But that's so.
No, I guess we are sort of.
Yeah.
I just feel like when you're
I'm an actor. I guess I'm an actor, right? Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you're do acting, which clearly you have, because I've looked at both of your IMDb pages.
Wow.
I feel like when you have, you kind of have to have a little bit of an intention before you say something, right?
Mm-hmm. Intention and an obstacle.
Yeah. And kind of know the world of what you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Earth.
Yeah, well, that's then I'd be that general.
But, and some of the movies I've done are space as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, you say is the kind of
that, Mars? Yeah.
What is this Forky world you've created? What would be his kind of both challenges and intentions?
His intention, I think, is to finish the job.
Okay.
He also wants to save. He, of course, has a bar called Forky's.
He has a bar.
Yeah, and there is a hole in the wall with that I think connects. I haven't seen. I forget exactly what we did. Mm. Yes, Jordan.
Doesn't he have a multi personality because he can never figure out if he's really a spoon or a fork? So he's always battling back and forth.
He does have a lot. I mean, he does have both worlds.
Jordan, we...
Is this going to turn tense?
We signed a document. Do we remember this?
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
Do we remember in the we were sharing our ideas for the movie that we were deciding that we weren't going to take individual credit for ideas?
Yeah.
And that just the fact that you were invited to the idea sharing session was a huge honor. Yeah.
And who can remember whether or not most of the ideas or in fact all of the ideas that wound up being incorporated in the film came from you or whether some of them we actually helped with a little bit doesn't matter. But that you in fact were going to pretend that you hadn't been there and that they had all been me and Hayes's ideas.
Yeah, I forgot that part.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why the document exists, isn't it? So that we don't forget that part.
So I remember.
Does this happen every session with Jordan where there's just a lot of shame dumped on her? Because I wouldn't want to be in this environment.
So we don't answer that, Jordan. I will field this one. No, it doesn't happen every session. We have other engineers half the time.
Oh, okay. What does it say about you guys that you feel like you have to do that to somebody each time?
I remember the plot now.
Oh, okay.
That we did for, so Forky's, it's a group of Florida high school students.
Do they live in Tallahassee?
They go to Forky's, which is sort of a nightclub
in the
Everglades. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a bar in there.
Well, that's not in Tallahassee then. Everglades is South Florida.
Then it's the Everglades.
Okay.
It's closer to the Everglades.
I think the Everglades.
They're in more of a general town. They have sort of a suburban looking high school, but at the same time, there is just on the outskirts of town, Forky's, which is a nightclub that can be a little raunchy.
And they're looking to have a learning experience with one of these ladies of the night at Forky's Club. Mm-hmm. And you, Forky, take their money and then you dump them in the swamp.
Okay. If it's okay, I need to break that down a little bit. If that's right.
Okay.
Just to kind of get to its simplest form.
Let's get into
chocolate clear water.
So I live in the Everglades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I live in the suburbs and the Everglades are the other side of the track.
No, the kids kids live in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. The kids live in the suburbs.
They're looking for a special experience at Forky's.
Okay.
You run that. Mm. That is in the Everglades. We don't really establish where you live, but I could assume that it's near Forky's the hopping nightclub where prostitution occurs.
Okay. Guys, I have to say, this can't happen. This can't happen. I won't let this happen. I mean, it's like, it's a beautiful story that Disney has created. And I feel like this, I don't know if they needed you guys to come in and step in and do this.
Okay. I wonder if that's above your pay grade.
But I just feel like you, I really think you bring a lot of good attributes into what you guys do.
With acting, you had said.
So. That's right, yeah. I don't know if the Toy Story franchise is one of those venues for you.
So the guy who does the voice is telling Bob Iger how to do his job.
Wait, you're telling me that you guys had this meeting with Bob Iger.
We've been trading.
Trading.
Bob's obviously insanely busy, and he's not the only one.
Mm.
Like you said, we're acting and other stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're trading, and we're at a point where this version of it has to be locked and loaded when we do sit down with Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some wild grunts from you.
Oh.
Just a dozen or so different kinds of grunts.
I'm not going to give that to you. I mean, I can appreciate, you know, it's one of those things that I need to speak up. This is a time I need to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
My personality.
You put up with this stuff, everything they did on Veep, you just swallowed it. And now.
Cow eyes, et cetera.
Yeah. And now it's time. Now for Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Now's the time when we're speaking up.
And does this make you think that perhaps we, your loving, caring partners in this venture who are trying to help you, are now suffering the consequence of the abusive relationship of Veep and the emotional baggage where you now don't trust us because you were betrayed by someone completely different, when actually what we're giving you is
a way out of that.
Really?
A path to freedom.
Yeah.
So you have mine and Jordan's best intentions with all this world you've created.
Jordan, I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah. You might like this.
Okay.
I got a text a few days ago from someone saying, your picture is in somebody's Tinder profile.
Oh, no!
Wait.
So that is the kind of relationship that we have.
So you're Jordan, sitting here.
It's okay.
Wait, can I just add, I've deleted all dating apps because I can't do it anymore. But I, yes.
Okay, so someone is posing as you.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm. And Weird Al is in there too. So that is the core four, basically. Mm-hmm. Is the two of us, Weird Al and Engineer Jordan.
How did you guys meet your wives?
So this is a great little backstory. I am married to Carrie Ann Moss, but she is not technically married to me. We have kind of a progressive 2019 relationship where the arrangement that she requested is that I am her husband, but she is not my wife. Does that make sense?
And you both did not meet your partners on a dating app.
No, we met during warm-ups at the French Open in, I want to say, 99, 2001, around there. But my coach, Brad Gilbert, had arranged through her coach that we would go out and have a bit of a hit around. I showed up kind of at the end of her practice and it was like, oh, maybe we hit together. And I was so distracted. I mean, that thing was flying all over the court. I'm married to Steffi Graf.
Okay. And that's how you got.
We met on an app. There's like a special app for people that were in the Matrix, in the movie.
Okay. Wow. Wow. It's interesting.
At the beginning of Reloaded, there's like that insane party scene. I'm sort of like DJing that party.
Wow. Jordan, I felt a lot of shame about your dating apps, and I don't think there's anything wrong with you being on those dating apps.
I have shame because multiple times that has been brought up on the show.
Come on, guys.
Dating advice.
And yet he met Carrie Ann Moss on a dating app.
There's no shame in using a dating app. It's 2019.
I guess if you consider Brad Gilbert, author of the book Winning Ugly, Tips from a Master, on tennis tournament play.
Mm.
If you think of him as a dating app, which I hadn't, but in a way, that's the old version of the dating app.
Okay.
Is that Brad would dial up Steffi's coach, whose name escapes me now, and two of you would whack it around.
And to your question about what does it say about us that we have to do this to every engineer, and also don't forget our producer.
I know, we haven't even touched on Chef Kevin.
I know, and that is so sad because we are out of time. We have a hard out today, is that right? They're doing the Comedy Bang Bang, the
special anniversary thing. Were you invited to that?
I was not. I was not.
Yeah.
I think they checked the schedule, and I think they saw that we already had a record. So maybe that's for you too.
Are you guys going to that right now? Is that why you have to leave?
I am sort of planning on walking out very slowly in a way that leaves me open to being sort of pulled in.
I'm going to be standing in the doorway very intently, like sort of responding to an email. And getting bumped into, hopefully, by some of these characters, some of these guys. And we are going to be hovering in a way where if we accidentally get shoved into the room or...
You know what? There's really a full... It's all making sense. I feel like that's how you got into the FDA. That's how you got into the tennis tournament.
Knowing Scott Aukerman.
What?
Knowing Scott Aukerman.
You just kind of stand outside and then get bumped into these places. Is that kind of how it works?
Oh, doesn't hurt.
All right. I'm going to try it.
So, unfortunately, I guess Forky's character is now, just based on what we have, someone who refuses to say the lines that he's told to. We got to use this. The old stuff is deleted.
So Forky now basically enters the film, says, "Hey, Shep Shepherd, I'm not going to say that."
Talks about how his co-stars, only one of them ever made him laugh.
Yeah, okay. Well, so all of this podcast is going to be cut into however you guys
want. It's a long movie.
My hands are tied.
Yeah, this is what we have.
This is what we got.
Disney owns this and is just going to use this as
however it's a UTA package. So.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right. And you're just going to cut this into your story.
Well, we're going to make the most. I mean, we're going to, you know, lemonade, etc.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I haven't signed off on that, but I mean,
yeah.
And I don't even think, I know they haven't signed off.
Hey, speaking of signing off, bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.